If we could, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous. Thank you. Okay, if we could, we'll have a roll call next.
Michael McCollum.
Here.
Joseph Carson. Joseph Pernio.
Here.
Clarence Gibbs.
Here.
Barry Smith. Ron Dunaway. Leonard Vine.
Here.
Jay Dagner.
Here.
Oreo Hay.
Here.
Dwight.
Here.
Terry Baker.
Here.
Is that it? Okay, thank you. I'd like to thank everybody before we get started for making this trip down here for this one modification. I appreciate everybody that did come, sure did. Before we get started, I want to read the process so everybody understands exactly what's happening. This will be the process that will be read at every TAC meeting before it starts. If y'all bear with me just a minute, the facilitator or TAC chair will serve as moderator. One person speaks at a time. Limit your comment and be concise. Do not read lengthy prepared statements. Summarize and submit complete comment text for the record. Offer new points or state agreement with the previous speakers. Please do not repeat what has been stated. The TAC wants to hear all viewpoints and not repeats from the same views. The facilitator or TAC chair will assist with the process and ground rules. The facilitator or TAC chair will introduce each amendment. Proponents of proposed amendments will speak first. Opponents of proposed amendments will follow proponents. Each side, proponent and opponent, will be allowed one counterpoint opportunity collectively. Standing motion to approve will be in effect. TAC will vote in favor of the standing motion to approve, found on the next page prior to considering proposed amendments. Findings considered, rationale, Florida-specific need, does not diminish requirements related to the wind resistance or prevention of water intrusion, and fiscal impact data reviewed. Clarifying questions by TAC members only. Staff, proponent, or specified commenter will respond to TAC members' questions. Once a motion is on the floor, discussion is limited to TAC members except as allowed by the chair. TAC amendments to proposed amendments require additional public comment and TAC analysis of findings, rationale, and fiscal impact. A standing motion to approve will be in effect. A second is required in order to vote for the amendment. Only motions to approve may be considered. Motions to deny are not allowed by the commission rules. All comments must be voted on individually. Motions require a 75% favorable vote for approval. Those with less than a 75% favorable recommendation are recommended for denial. The TAC chair will read the following motion, ask for a motion and second to approve, and the TAC will then vote in favor. Move to recommend approval of the proposed amendments by the Technical Advisory Committee based on the following findings. The amendment has a reasonable and substantial connection to the health, safety, and welfare of the general public, and the amendment does not degrade the effectiveness of the code and either strengthens or improves the code or provides for innovation or new technology by allowing equivalent or better products, methods, or systems of construction, and the amendment does not discriminate against products, methods, or systems of construction of demonstrated capabilities, and the amendment has the following physical impact. The fiscal impact of enforcement imposed upon local government as indicated by TAC review. The fiscal impact of compliance imposed upon property and building owners is as indicated by TAC review. The fiscal impact of the compliance imposed upon industry is as indicated by TAC review. The amendment's benefits noted with regard to fiscal impact and efficiency outweigh the cost imposed. The amendment's addressed as a Florida-specific need. The amendment does not diminish requirements related to wind resistance or prevention of water intrusion contained in the code or its reference standard criteria. TAC amendments to proposed amendments require additional public comment and TAC analysis of findings, rationale, and fiscal impact. With that being said, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
We have a second. Any discussion? See no discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It was unanimous. OK, Okay, so we have a standing motion. All we need is a second for approval. Okay, the first order of business is the modification. The modification deals with 2702.4, add section to section 2702, emergency and standby power systems to require smoke detectors installed in a residence to be powered by the generator should one be installed. We have a second to consider. I'm sorry. The proponent, would he like to speak?
Yes. This idea was not my original idea. The poor gentleman that was supposed to come up here and defend it today, he's been out on medical leave for over a month already. And so I told him I'd gladly go up and do it. I submitted this for him because he couldn't figure out how to use our submittal system. I believe, personally, it is a good idea to have the smoke detectors installed whenever there is a generator there. Okay, in Palm Beach County, where I'm from, there were 4 documented fires caused by generators the last hurricane. People, one of them had it outside a wooden residential garage door, caught the place on fire. It literally burned the whole house down. And there was a couple that had them on their back porches, you know, down there. A lot of people put in these wooden decks. And for whatever reason, they caught on fire there. So I think the one that, you know, burnt the house down, someone was quite severely injured in the fire. But this was what motivated the impact on this. I personally don't think it's a big cost thing. If someone installs a whole house generator, which we have a lot of them going in down home, the smoke detectors would already be there. And if somebody is putting in a small panel, an optional standby panel, it's probably a matter of switching one more circuit off. And it may be on there anyway, because they may want their bedroom on that circuit, especially like if it's a master bedroom or something like that. So I believe there is a safety benefit to the proposal.
Thank you, Leonard. What about an opponent? Joe?
I have a number of comments in opposition to this. I think that, first of all, I don't think it's Florida specific. I think that it would add significant additional cost, or could add significant additional cost, because what we're talking about here is an optional standby generator. And the word optional is just that. Now what we would be doing is requiring people to do things with their optional generator. We have no idea what the reason a homeowner has for having a generator. And this would require someone who has a generator to put their smoke detectors on it. While it seems like that's an easy thing, I don't know how that, in some instances, I don't know how you would do that. With an optional generator, you can size it according to the load. And a homeowner may only choose to serve very specific loads, which could be their only their well, or have a generator that only serves animals or agricultural things. And now we would be requiring them to put their house smoke detectors on it. So it doesn't seem to me that that's reasonable for us to require in an optional situation that we require the smoke detectors to be on. Another thing, the smoke detectors are battery backed up in homes anyway, so the smoke detectors in the home should work. As far as implementing it, in most homes, there are more than one bedroom, and there are a number of smoke detectors. So it's not a, a, it may or may not be an easy task to do that. And it may be, in fact, very difficult to do that in an existing home to retrofit, you know, these couple circuits. So I think it's very expensive, and I would say that it may cause the homeowner to have to buy a larger generator set because of the circuits that are feeding the detectors. They have bedroom loads and other loads on them, so I would be opposed to accepting this modification.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak, proponent? We need to vote. We need a second now. Would someone like to second it, to discuss it? Not yet. Okay, we have a second. Okay. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Do we have a, we better go for a vote, or a hand vote.
Yes. Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
This is just a motion
to discuss.
That will allow us to discuss this.
Correct.
And take in public comment.
You have a second, so you can go ahead and discuss it.
Okay.
Yes, we don't need a motion to discuss.
Okay, that's true. That's true. Okay, it's open for discussion. Oral, I think you were next.
I was looking at this, and I think it's a good item. I think it's an important item to have. When you say it's not for a specific, I think it is. You look at the value of generators that are being sold in the state more than any other state, I think that it probably would indicate that it is. I know that some other tacks are going to be discussing certain items such as CO detectors. If we don't have the smoke detector under the generator, then the CO detectors are not going to work either if they're not under the generator. So I think we should probably should include both on those if we're going to look at it realistically. Probably one of the key things that I was looking at, I think this is basically just for permanently installed optional generators. It's not going to be for portable generators or anything else. So I think if we can probably make that clear, that might even help on that end. But I think it is an important topic for us to have and to adopt.
Anyone else? Dwight?
I have several questions that come up when we look at this language. It says residential, but it does not specify single family. It does not address the need for existing single family, if we're going to keep it to that, that strictly have battery-powered smoke alarms. They're not required to interconnect them. They may not be interconnected at all. They may just be standalone battery, in which case, you cannot, the cost would be, if possible, you know, I could see it be very, very expensive, especially on a two-story residence where you'd have to try to interconnect everything. I don't think it's been considered enough in the language to address all these particulars. I support it in principle, but not in the way it's written.
Jay?
702 is for optional standby power systems, and we're turning around and making a required standby system out of it by doing all this. Our smoke detectors already are required to be on arc walls if they're in the bedroom. So, as Joe said, now you're talking about the whole circuits for the bedrooms if they did that. Very few of these smoke detectors are put on a special circuit. They're tapped onto the bedroom circuits. So now you've got to feed the bedrooms. And like I said, 702 is for optional standby systems, not a required standby system. Smoke detectors already by NFPA 72 are required to be battery backup. Those batteries will hold a whole year. You know, they got the good batteries in them. It's not like an emergency light that goes out in an hour or so. So they're already battery backup. Is it a good idea? Probably, but I think it takes away the idea of an optional standby system. I don't think that we can require that. I don't see anything this Florida-specific. There are a lot of generators put out here. Like Oreo said, they're permanent generators. And I think there's some code language needs to be changed for them. I don't think that 702 has good language for these automatic transfer switches, but that's not been submitted. It was discussed our last meeting, but it wasn't submitted. So that's all I can say.
Anyone else? Terry?
Well, again, it says emergency and standby power systems. And basically, we're going into optional systems, same as Jay said and same as Wayne had said earlier. So with that being said, I can't back it myself here.
Anyone else? Joe?
I just like to again emphasize that the language does not indicate what type of generator, and the fire that Leonard was describing seems to me that that would be a portable generator that was brought in that caused that problem that was temporarily connected. And again, putting this requirement on optional generators where the code allows you to buy a generator specific for a specific load and is required to be sized to handle that specific load takes away a homeowner's ability to just feed the specific load they want. And that specific load could be a well, a swimming pool, things outside their home, not necessarily things inside their home. So to have this requirement on generators, to me, would be the wrong thing to do.
Anyone else? No other discussion? If not, we'll call the question. All in favor of the... Yes, sir.
Is there any comments from the public?
I don't think they can. If anyone would like to speak, through the chair, I would like for them to speak if they would like to. But after it goes to a vote, we can't have any discussion except through me. But that's fine. If someone would like to speak, I'd be more than welcome to let them speak.
Just for clarification, Steve, you did ask to begin with for King Capital Committee. Nobody took him up on.
Okay. With that being said... all in favor of the motion, signify by raising your hand. That's 1-2. All against, signify by raising your hand. 5-2. Motion fails, okay. That was our main purpose for being here today. We do have a little bit of time that... I've told that we could bring up some discussion and discussion only. No action could be taken, but if anyone would like to speak about anything that's going on, now's the time to do it, especially with all of us here. Oriel?
I was going through all the modifications, both in the energy, mechanical, building, and I found a few topics that I was kind of surprised that didn't come to the electrical tech. The issue with mechanical, that they're trying to install the requirements for CO2 detectors on homes where they're using the generators. You've got the energy issues with some language changes, adding, I guess, service conductors and also modifying some of the language on the controls instead of shutoffs. Plumbing that requires electrical inspections for pools before they get a final. I mean, typical topics of electrical that I think should come to this TAC committee for discussion.
Rick, would you like to comment on that?
Well, typically, the way that we split them up is depending on which code is being amended. Now, certainly, if there's an issue that bridges over, if there's a mechanical issue that's electrical, what we would encourage is for the electrical TAC folks to go to that meeting and comment on it. But if it's a change to the mechanical code, then that goes to the mechanical committee. Change electrical code to the electrical committee. That's what we've got here.
Well, for future reference for the TAC, Rick, items that we feel like need electrical comments, can we not have joint meetings to discuss those particular things, or how would we go about having joint meetings?
Yeah, the primary committee is always the one that the code is being changed. And sometimes we have, like, parallel changes if there's something mechanical that goes into the building also, like the air handler attachment issues. And then we definitely have a joint meeting. But, yeah, if you have something you think that your committee should have a lot of input on, let staff know. We can either set up a joint meeting, or we can, remember, only the other tack is vote on it. We can have a joint meeting so we have a more formal input than just going and providing public comment.
Okay. Anything else? Bruce?
Yeah, to the chair. Rick, is this one also, this particular modification, one that someone could comment on now? You don't have to vote.
This particular?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, give me a little explanation for the public and for you guys, too. The commission voted that in the future, when we get the rules amended, we're going to have a two-tack review process before going to the commission. So, in essence, the idea is the code development phase goes through the tacks. The code adoption phase, which is Chapter 120 rule amendments, will go through the commission. We won't have the rules amended for the 2007 code to formalize that, but what we're going to do is go ahead and implement it in a sort of bridge fashion, if you will, in the 2007 code update. So items that were considered by the TAC that have a public comment submitted in the 45-day period after TAC recommendations go on the web, which are of a nature that would change or edit or change to the original proposal, will be taken up by the TACs prior to the Commission's rule workshop. And you will then have the opportunity to provide comment to the Commission back to the public, not the way that currently is, you know, directly to the Commission, but through the public comment process so that they'll have the benefit of the tax review and recommendation on that comment to the original mod. Now, that's kind of convoluted, but the idea is that the commissioners have, like, one electrical person or one mechanical, maybe two with the engineer on there. And we want to make sure that the technical experts, the technical committee, have some way of providing input on comments to the TAC action. Okay. Now, the other part of the process, we're not giving people 3, 4, and 5 bites of the apple. If they had a proposal, came to the TAC said, nah, we're not going to recommend this one, then you're not going to take that up a second time. Okay. Now we get to come back before you with exactly the same mod. But here's two instances. Let's say the TAC amended a proposal, and the person who submitted the proposal said, wait a minute, these guys changed this. This no longer meets what I was really trying to intend. Well, they have then the opportunity to come back to you and say, wait a minute, guys, I'd like for you to reconsider what you did. Another instance is where the TAC, rather than amending it itself, which probably the preferred approach, instead of amending itself, gave direction to the proponent saying, you got a good idea here, but we need to limit it, this proposal to permanently installed, like you were discussing before. Then that proponent has the opportunity during the comment period to make that modification that you suggested to make it acceptable to you, and you'll have an opportunity to take it up again after they've tried to tweak it to make it more acceptable to you, hear your recommendation. But those are basically the two instances where you will review a second time and provide comment back to the commission. We're not just opening the process up for 15 reviews and arguments over.
Okay, Rick, with us not doing that, then ours pretty much is over with. Is that correct? Or can he make a comment and then we have to meet again because of it?
He makes a comment and makes a modification or change to it, you know, to address some of the things that were heard here today, then yes, you agree, review it, and provide a comment back to.
And when would this meeting take place?
It will happen at the June commission meeting.
Okay. Everybody understand?
That fits within our 45-day time frames and certain settings.
Okay. Excuse me. Joe, and then Dwight. Go ahead, Joe.
Rick, I thought the meeting was in May.
The commission takes up, the commission's rule development workshop is at the June meeting. Because the 45-day comment period isn't over until the end of May.
Okay.
Joe?
Do we have to be sure we're specific enough then in our reasons here? Is that the purpose of this?
Well, that helps the proponent try to address things that you thought were weaknesses in the proposal. Yeah, and we are supposed to give good reason for why it was rejected.
did we accomplish that?
That's what I'm wondering, because this is, you know, I'm just listening in general. My feeling is this could be a feel-good thing, and people don't understand the technical aspects of implementing this. And the reality of implementing something like this could be, you know, very, very expensive to do, because you have a multi-family or a multi-bedroom home with detectors inside and outside the bedrooms on specific circuits that could be in different panels. And here's a guy who just bought a generator to have his well pump work. And the feasibility or have one air conditioner work in a specific area, it's a manual operation. It's and it meets all the intents of the code, and all of a sudden he's got something that he can't accomplish. But the feel-good thing is, oh, we want to provide smoke detectors for the public when they're using the generator. I hope we accomplish that by...
Well, certainly, I assure you, this is a tape-recorded meeting, so if the proponent wants to find out why you reject it, they have access. These links are put online, et cetera. Access to your discussions, so they can try to identify what they might should change.
And I feel like we did it. I feel like that the reasons given were good reasons, and only if it comes back up again would we need to go into more detail, in my opinion. And I don't know what else we could do other than our vote is it failed. Any other discussion? Dwight?
Only that I think every one of us said we supported it in principle. It's the technical, or the majority of it.
I don't think we said that either.
If they can get it hammered out enough in the language to exempt and identify the items that we discussed.
No, I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe that the majority of us would support this in principle. But maybe we should take a vote on that. Because I don't think there's a way, in my opinion, this should not be reworked in any way. Because I think it's defeating the purpose of an optional generator to do something like this. I think Jay said it the best. This is an optional system, and we're taking the optional part out of it by insisting that you have these detectors. And the detectors in a home are battery backed up anyway. There are too many assumptions here to force somebody to hook their smoke detectors into a generator.
With Dwight having said what he said, just to clarify it, so there won't be any question, I mean, all we could do is take a straw vote if the TAC would like to. Go ahead, Dwight.
Through the chair, that would strictly be based on the possible wording that would come up. I mean, it's a non-issue unless it's brought back up.
Well, why don't we just wait and see what happens with the comment? And then that way, if we need to meet additional time, then we will. Leonard?
Yeah. I'm not going to bring it back up. I would like to point out something, if I could, though. At least in Palm Beach County, maybe right here in St. Augustine, you have a number of houses that do not even have smoke detectors. Okay? And that was part of the intent of it. And I have to admit, I think it could have been worded differently. There is a requirement in the residential code under 313 that whenever you have electrical work done inside the home, okay, that you are, if a house doesn't have smoke detectors, you are supposed to put them in. I do not think that it is being enforced, sort of, but that is what the reality is there. And I know that in 313, and Rick would have to help me out on that, there was an issue on the carbon monoxide detectors going in on 313, too. When does that come up?
About mechanical.
That's Thursday at 8 o'clock.
Okay. But so that was part of his intent. But like you said, I typed up what he sent me. And I think there are some merits to it. Maybe it could have been modified in such a way that, you know, for houses that didn't have smoke detectors. I mean, that's just a thing. But I personally probably, I know I won't bring it back up. Now, whether this other fellow wants to do something with it, I don't know. It doesn't sound like he can, but I'm not going to, you know,
because he couldn't be here today to go over the details of this thing.
Anyone else? Oriel?
I would agree. I mean, the language is not really clear. And I thought that that was something that we can probably work out and modify at this point. But still, we bring up the issue of money, and some of us, we don't look at the money issue. We look at the safety of the community. And that's how I'm looking at this. I think most of these houses now, I don't know how many generators are in your community, but every day we've got 30 and 40 inspections per person on generators, and they're putting massive generators for the whole house. So that's going to automatically cover this issue. But the smaller generators, it's not that complex to get those smoke detectors on those on that circuit. It's not complex at all. Is it specific? Yes. And I said it was specific to Florida, and I don't see that up there, but because the amount of generators that we're having installed, it's back to the safety of the community. I think that's what we need to look at. The batteries, they only last a certain amount of time until they die off. Most of the time when we lose power, and these people are putting these generators in because they didn't have power for 3-4 weeks. So...
Joe?
I'd just point out that the batteries will last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, and, you know, we're hearing things addressed here that have nothing to do with a generator, an optional generator, and smoke detectors. There's a concern that there aren't smoke detectors in homes that don't have smoke detectors. That's a completely different issue. And, you know, trying to corral it into this thing is just not appropriate, in my opinion. And there may be more generators in Florida than other places, but we don't know that. I mean, there are generators installed all over the country. And, in fact, the majority of the generators that Generac sells, who's one of the larger distributors of these home units, are for up north, and they're sold in the wintertime, not in the summertime, to keep pipes from freezing up north in the winter. So I don't believe that it is a Florida-specific issue at all. And again, to say that it's easy to accomplish is pretty subjective because we don't know what the intent. The code allows optional generators to be purchased and installed for specific loads that the customer or that the customer or homeowner can determine and size the generator for only the loads that they want on that generator. And what we're doing here is removing that option. So right. I think that you know flies in the face of what the National Electrical Code specifically states. Because now you're putting required loads on that, on that system.
And that's my point. We're getting ready to take everything back to 701 rather than 702. So if we want to do 701, do 701. But don't start adding all these requirements to 702, which is optional. 701 is required standby systems. So, you know, they need to make up their mind. If they want an optional standby system, that's what it is. If they want to do requirements and have this set of requirements, take it to 701. Make it required to it be a required standby system.
And I don't think we want to go down that slope.
No, I don't think you do.
And the scary thing to me is hearing that the mechanical side is trying to impose some type of detection on these optional standby systems, because there again, it's very specific in the National Electrical Code, and there could be a roundabout way where requirements are placed because it feels good and it sounds good to have all these protections, and you know there may not be a real knowledge of what. You know, what that's going to do to the electrical systems when something like that's adopted.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing nothing else, we will need to have a TAC meeting in May. And the meeting will be where?
Tampa.
We'll be back in Tampa. And I do want to say again, I appreciate everyone that came here today for this one modification. That's the electrical TAC has always been real supportive of each other and all and the code and the people of the state of Florida. And I sure do thank y'all for making this long trip for this one modification. With nothing else, and if nobody has anything else, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank y'all again.
Thank y'all.
Yeah.